As we were going through this teaching regarding the Blessed Mother and the pains that she suffered, a lot of things came up in my mind about helping, how we can be helped. We'll refer to what she did and how she handled herself with her pains. And if we could just take a little bit of what she did and use it for ourselves so that we can accept the pains will come to us from being in the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. We know that we're going to have to suffer a lot if we're going to be in the divine will. And we need to hear these kind of readings and see how the Blessed Mother handled it. She gave us a lot of tips, a lot of aids, you know, to fall back on. We want to imitate her as best we can when we're in the divine will when it comes to suffering. Amen.
May 1st, 1926. How one who lives in the divine will is nourished by the divine breath, while one who does not live in it is an intruder, an usurper of the goods of God, and receives them as alms. The divine will has a continuous motion that never stops. I felt all immersed in the supreme volition, and my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, and squeezing me tightly to himself, he placed his mouth close to my lips and sent me his omnipotent breath. But who can say what I felt within me? That breath penetrated deep into my most intimate fibers. It filled me completely to the point that I no longer felt my littleness, my existence, but only Jesus within all of me. Then, after repeating several times this act of sending me his breath, as it seemed he was not content if he did not see me completely filled with that divine breath, he told me, "My daughter, since you are born in my will, it is necessary, it is right and decorous that you live, grow, and be nourished in it, and that you acquire the prerogatives of a true daughter of my volition. No extraneous feature, nor anything which does not belong to my will, must appear in you. Therefore, from your physiognomy, from your manners, from your speaking, and even from the way you love and pray, it must be recognized that you are the daughter of my will. Do you see then how I love you? And with that, and with what jealousy I keep and nourish you? With my very breath, because only my breath can preserve whole and permanent the life of my will in one who must live in my volition. And so that breath which, with so much love, I released from my bosom in the creation of man, to infuse in him my likeness, I continue to infuse in the soul who lives in my will, in order to form my true images and the great portents which I established to form in creation and for which all things were made. This is why I long so much for one who lives in my will, because she alone will not leave me disappointed in the purpose of creation. She alone will enjoy, by right, the things created by me, because since my will is one with hers, what is mine is hers, and by right she can say, the heavens, the sun, the earth, and all the other things are mine. Therefore, I want to enjoy them, also to give honor to that supreme will which created them and which reigns in me. On the other hand, the soul in whom my will does not reign has no right, and if she enjoys them, she is an usurper, because they do not belong to her. She is an intruder in my goods, and because my goodness is great, I let her enjoy them as alms, but not by right. This is why many times the elements unload themselves over man, to his harm, because he has no right, and what is left for him of the things of the earth is the alms that the Creator sends to him. One who lives in my will is like a queen in the midst of creation, and I greatly delight in seeing her reign in the midst of my good. After this, I continued to pray, and my sweet Jesus came back, making himself seen with two fountains of light coming out of his most holy hand. One of them descended over my poor soul, and through a device which was formed in the hands of Jesus, while descending, it went up again. It seemed to be a continuous current, which, while descending, ascended. Jesus was all delighted in the midst of these fountains of light, and was all attentive, so that one of them would remain all centralized in me. Then he said to me, "My daughter, this fountain of life which descends from my hands is my will, which descends from heaven and makes its way into this soul in order to accomplish what it wants to do within her. This action of my will forms the other fountain of life, which, through my hands, ascends again toward heaven to bring the fulfillment of my will from the creature to the eternal Creator. But while ascending, at the same time it descends again doubled to continue its divine action in the creature. My will has a continuous motion. It never stops. If its motion could be stopped, which it cannot be, life would cease for the whole creation, for the sun, for the starry heavens, for the plants, for the water, for the fire, for creatures. All of them would be reduced to nothing. Therefore, with its continuous motion, my will is life of each created thing. It binds everything. It is more than air, which, with its breath, makes all things which come out of our hands breathe, develop, and vegetate. See then what an affront is given by creatures, because while my will is life of everything and center of all things, and without it's nothing and good would exist, and without it, nothing and no good would exist. They do not want to recognize its dominion, nor its life which flows within them. This is why one who recognizes the life of my will within herself and in all things is the triumph of our will and the conquest of our victories. She is the recompense of our love to our continuous motion. Our will binds this creature to the whole creation, making her do all the good that my will itself does. So everything is hers, and I love her so much that I'm unable to do anything without her, because by virtue of my will, we have the same life, the same love, one single heartbeat, and one single breath." And while saying this, he threw himself into my arms as though faint with love, and he disappeared.
May 3rd, 1926. How only in the divine will is prayer universal. How the divine will, by locating, reigns in the soul as in its own dwelling. The divine will holds supremacy over the divine being and is the ruler of all the divine attributes. I was about to fuse myself in the holy divine volition according to my usual way, and I said, "Supreme Majesty, I come in the name of all, from the first to the last man which will exist on earth, to give you all the homages, the adorations, the praises, the love that each creature owes you, and to make all reparations for all and for each sin." Now, while I was saying this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, this way of praying is only of my will, because it alone can say, 'I come in the name of all,' before the Supreme Majesty. In fact, with its all-seeingness and immensity, it sees everything and embraces everyone, so we can say, not as a manner of speaking, but in reality, I come in the name of all to do for you all that the creatures owe you. No human will can say, in reality, I come in the name of all. This is the sign that my will reigns in you. While he was saying this, my Jesus continued to pray in a loud voice. I followed him, and together we found ourselves before the Supreme Majesty. Oh, how beautiful it was to pray with Jesus. All things were invested by his words and acts, and since his will was everywhere and in each created thing, one could hear his creative words, his adorations, and everything he was doing being repeated everywhere. I felt myself becoming even smaller being together with Jesus. I was all amazed, and he added, my daughter, do not be surprised. It is my will that by locating, while reigning in God, reigns in the soul, and at the same time, and with its divine ways, it prays, loves, and operates within her. So, it is impossible for us not to enjoy, not to love, not to listen to our will, bilocated in the creature. On the contrary, it alone brings to us, as if on its lap, our joy, happiness, and love, which overflowed from our womb in our work, ad extra, the creation. It repeats the feast for us. It renews in us the joy we felt in creating so many beautiful things worthy of us. How not to love the one who gives us the occasion to bilocate our will by letting it reign within herself to give us divine love, adoration, and glory. Therefore, the living in my will is the prodigy of prodigies, because everything is in the will, both for God and for the creature. How many things we could do, but because we do not want them, we do not do them. When we want something, we are all love, all power, all eyes, hands, and feet. In sum, all of our being is centralized in that act which our will wants to do. On the other hand, if our will does not want it, none of our attributes moves. It seems that they have no life for anything that our will does not want to do. So our will holds supremacy, dominion over our being, and it is the ruler of all our attributes. This is why the greatest thing we could give to the creature was our will, and in it we centralized our whole being. Could there be a love more intense, a miracle more sensational than this? Even more, as much as we can give to the creature, it seems nothing to us compared to giving her our will, reigning and dominating in her. In fact, the other things we can give her are the fruits of our works, of our dominions, while by giving her our will, it is not fruits, but our very life and our very dominions. What has more value, the fruits or the life? Certainly the life, because by giving the life of our will, with it we give the fount of all our goods, and one who possesses the fount of goods does not need the fruits. Even if the creature gave us everything or made the greatest sacrifices, but did not give us her little will in order to let ours reign, she would still give us nothing. Even more, when things are not produced by our will, as great as they might be, we look at them as extraneous to us, as things which do not belong to us. I was thinking of what Jesus had told me, And I said to myself, is all this possible that the divine will reaches the point of bilocating in order to reign in the creature as in its own dwelling, in its divine womb? And Jesus added, my daughter, do you know how this happens? Imagine a little and poor hovel in which a king, taken by love for it, wants to reside. So the voice of the king can be heard coming out from within that hovel. From it comes his commands as well as his works. Inside of the hovel, there are foods apt to nourish the king and the chair worthy of him on which he can sit. So the king has changed nothing of that which befits his royal person. He has only changed his residence from the royal palace of his own will, and with greatest delight he has chosen the hovel. The little hovel is the soul. The king is my will. How many times do I not hear the voice of my will that prays, speaks, teaches in the little hovel of your soul? How many times do I not see my work come out of it? And I rule, vivify, and preserve all created things from your little hovel. My will does not take into account your littleness. On the contrary, it likes it greatly. What it looks for is absolute dominion, because through absolute dominion, it can do whatever it wants and places whatever it likes.
And he starts off with a statement that I think a lot of us might forget, that when we're in the divine will, we pray, and we can pray in a universal manner. That means we pray, we can offer our prayers for anybody in the world, or for everyone in the world even. We tell them how powerful that is, not to forget that. We can pray for, and we see something in the news, we can pray for those people. We can pray for someone that we don't even know or heard about even in the news. We can pray. It's such a powerful thing, this divine will, the prayer in the divine will. He says, this is a sign that my will reigns in you. She says, I come in the name of all to do for you all that the creatures owe you. No human will can say that. In reality, it comes in the name of all. This is a sign that my will reigns in you. And of course, he finishes up as usual, very powerful, very nice. And before that, it says, even the creature gave us everything or made the greatest sacrifices, but that did not give us her little will in order to let ours reign. So we want to remember that part of it is that not to forget that everything we're doing is in his will and how valuable it is. And to remember to put it in his will, to put everything in his will, to use that path, to offer it, get in the habit of that, that everything we do in the divine will. Amen.
May 6, 1926. How the ones who live in the divine will are the first in the eyes of God and form his crown. The divine will unites all who live in it and the acts done in it as one single act. The origin of one who lives in it is eternal. I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition according to my usual way, and I prayed the celestial mama to be with me and to give me her hand so that guided by her, I might requite my God with all the love, the adoration, and the glory that everyone owes him. Now, while I was saying this, my beloved Jesus moved to my interior and told me, my daughter, you must know that the first before the Supreme Majesty are those who have lived in my volition and who have never gone out of my will. My mama came to the world after 4,000 years, yet in the eyes of God, she came before Adam. Her acts, her love, are in the first order of creatures. Therefore, her acts come before all the acts of creatures, because she was the closest to God, bound to him with the tightest bonds of sanctity, of union, and of likeness. By living in our will, her acts became inseparable from ours, and being inseparable, these acts are the closest, as something natural and to her Creator. Before and after do not exist in our will, but everything is first act. Therefore, one who lives in our will, even if she came as last, comes always before everything. So it is not the era in which souls come out to the light of time that will be considered, but whether the life of my will has been in them a center of life, reigning and dominating in all of their acts, just as it reigns and dominates in the womb of the divinity. These will be the first. The acts, their acts done in our will rise above all the acts of other creatures, and all will remain behind. Therefore, these souls will be our crown. See, as you are calling my mama in my will to give me return of love, of adoration, and of glory, my will united the two of you together, and the love, the glory, the adoration, which Sovereign Queen did, have become your acts, and yours have become those of my mama. My will placed everything in common. The one has become inseparable from the other, and I heard in you the voice of my mama, her love, her adoration, her glory, and in my mama, I heard your voice, loving me, adoring me, glorifying me. How happy I felt in finding and hearing the mama in my daughter, and the daughter in my mama. My will unites everyone and everything. It would not be true living in my will, nor a work of my will, if it did not centralize everything that belongs to it and all of its eternal works in the soul who lives in it, in whom it has the kingdom and dominion. If it were not so, the kingdom of my will would be a divided kingdom, which cannot be, because my will unites all its works together and makes of them one single act. And even though it is said that it creates, it redeems, it sanctifies, and so on, these are the effects of that single act, which never changes its action. Therefore, the origin of one who lives in my will is eternal, inseparable from her Creator and from all those in whom my will has had its kingdom and its dominion.
May 10th, 1926. Just as the sun is life of all nature, the divine will is life of the soul. Effects of the rising of the sun, of the divine will and the soul. The innumerable bilocations and the continuous course of the sun, of the divine will, in the acts of the creature. My poor mind was swimming in the immense sea of the eternal volition, and my sweet Jesus transported me outside of myself in the act in which the sun was rising. What enchantment to see the earth, the plants, the flowers, the sea, undergoing such a transformation. All of them freed themselves of a nightmare that oppressed them. All rose to the new life which the light gave to them and acquired their beauty and development, which the light and the heat gave them in order to make them grow. The light seemed to take them by the hand and investing them to give fecundity to plants and color to flowers, to dispel the shadows of darkness from the sea and give it its silvery shades with its light. But who can say all the effects that the solar light produced by investing all the earth, covering everything with its garment of light? I would be too long if I wanted to describe everything. Now, while I was seeing this, my beloved Jesus told me, "My daughter, how beautiful is the rising of the sun. It changes all of nature, and by transforming it into its very light, it gives to each thing the effects needed to make them produce the good they contain. But in order to do this, the light must invest them, touch them, mold them, penetrate so deep into them as to give them sips of light in order to infuse the life of the good which they must produce. So if the plants, the flowers, the sea did not let themselves be invested by the light would be as though dead for them, and they would remain in the nightmare of darkness, which would serve as the tomb to bury them. The virtue of darkness is to give death. The virtue of light is to give life. So if it wasn't for the light of the sun, on which all created things are dependent, and from which all of them receive life, nothing good would be on earth. On the contrary, it would be frightening and horrible to the sight. Therefore, the life of the earth is bound to the light. Now, my daughter, the sun is the symbol of my will. And you have seen how beautiful and enchanting is its rising over the earth. How many effects it produces, how many different colors, how many beauties, how many transformations its light can produce. And how this sun has been placed there by its creator in order to give life, growth, and beauty to all of nature. So if this is what the sun does in order to fulfill its office given to it by God, much more does the sun of my will, which was given to man to infuse in him the life of his creator. Oh, how much more enchanting and beautiful is the rising of the sun of my will over the creature. By pounding on her, its light transforms her and gives her the different colors of the beauty of her creator. By investing her and molding her, it penetrates into her and gives her sips of divine life that she may grow and produce the effects of the goods which the life of her creator contains. Now, what would happen to the earth without the sun? Much more ugly and frightening would the soul be without my will. How she decays from her origin. How the nightmare of passions and vices, more than darkness, makes her die and prepares the tomb in which to bury her. But you have seen that light of the sun can do good insofar as the plants, the flowers, and the other things let themselves be touched and invested by the light, remaining with their mouths open in order to receive the sips of life which the sun gives to them. So it is with my will. It can do so much good. It can infuse so much beauty and divine life, for as much as the soul lets herself be touched, invested, molded by the hands of light of my will. If the soul gives herself prey to this light, abandoning herself completely in it, my supreme will perform the greatest prodigy of creation, the divine life in the creature. Oh, if the sun could form, with the reflection of its light, as many other suns on each plant, in the seas, on the mountains, in the valleys, what more beautiful enchantment, what beauty more radiant, how many more prodigies would there not be in the order of nature? Yet what the sun does not do, my will does in the soul who lives in it, and who remains with her mouth open, like a little flower, in order to receive the sips of light which my will gives her, to form the life of the divine sun within her. Therefore be attentive. Take in every instant these sips of light of my will, that it may accomplish in you the greatest of prodigies, that my will may have its divine life in the creature. After saying this, I was saying to my highest and only good, my love, I unite my intelligence to yours, so that my thoughts may have their life in yours, and diffusing in your will, they may flow over each thought of creature, and rising together before our celestial Father, we will bring him the homages, the subjection, the love of each thought of creature, and we will impetrate that all created intelligence and all created intelligences may be reordered and harmonized with their Creator. And the same with the gazes of Jesus, with his words, with his works, with his steps, and even with his heartbeat. I felt all transformed in Jesus in such a way that I found myself as though in act in everything that my Jesus had done and was doing to restore the glory of the Father and in the good he had impetrated for creatures. His work was one with mine, one the love, one the will. And my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, how beautiful is the prayer, the love, the work of the creature in my will. Her acts are filled with the whole of the divine fullness. Their fullness is such that they embrace everything and everyone, even God himself. See, for all eternity, your thoughts will be seen in mine. Your eyes, your words in mine, your works and steps in mine, your heartbeat palpitating in mine, because one is the will that gives us life, one the love that moves us, that pushes us, and that binds us in an inseparable way. This is why the sun of my will surpasses in an infinite and more surprising way, the sun present in the atmosphere. See the great difference? The sun created by God, while pounding on the earth, invests it. It produces admirable and innumerable effects. But it does not depart from its source. It descends down below. It rises up high. It touches the stars. But the fullness of light remains always within its sphere. Otherwise, it would not be able to invest everything with its light, always equally. But in spite of all this, the solar light does not penetrate into the heavens to invest the throne of God, to penetrate into God himself, and to make its light one with the inaccessible light of the Supreme Being. Nor can it invest the angels, the saints, or the celestial Mama. On the other hand, when the Son of my will reigns in the soul with all its fullness, its light penetrates everywhere, into the hearts and into the minds of the creatures who live down on earth. But what surprises is that it rises up high. It invests the whole creation and brings the kiss of the light of the supreme will to the sun, to the stars, to the heavens. The divine will, which reigns in the creation, and the sun of the divine will, which reigns in the soul, meet. They kiss each other, love each other, and make each other happy. And while remaining in the creation, because the sun of my will leaves nothing behind, but brings everything with itself, it penetrates into the heavens. It invests everyone, the angels, the saints, the sovereign queen. It gives its kiss to all. It gives new joys, new contentments, new love. But this is not all. It pours itself mightily into the womb of the Eternal One. The divine will, bilocated in the creature, kisses, loves, adores the will reigning in God Himself. It brings everyone and everything to Him. And as they dive into each other, it rises again to follow its course. In fact, since the fullness of the Son, of the Eternal Will, is in the soul, this Son is at her disposal. And as she emits her acts, loving, praying, repairing, etc., this sun continues its course to give to all the surprise of its light, of its love, of its life. So while this sun of the eternal will rises and follows its course to perform its setting in the womb of the divinity, another one rises to follow its way, enveloping everything, even the celestial fatherland, to then have its golden sunset in the womb of the Supreme Majesty. So the bilocations of my will are innumerable. This sun rises at each act of the creature done within the sun of the Supreme Volition, which does not happen with the sun present in the atmosphere, which is always one and does not multiply. Oh, if the sun had the virtue of making as many suns rise for as many times as it does its course over the earth, how many suns could one not see up there? What enchantment! How many more goods would the earth not receive? Therefore, how many goods does the soul, who lives completely in my will, not do, by giving her God the occasion to bilocate his will, to let him repeat the prodigies which only a God can do? Having said this, he disappeared, and I found myself inside myself.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your teaching this evening or this morning, and also especially this last teaching that really gives us hope for what's coming, hopefully in our time. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedicta vos omnipotentes, Pater et Filii Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
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 Come, divine will.
Come, divine will.
Fiat. Come, divine will.
God bless you. Come, divine will. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you all. God bless you all.
Thank you.